You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
We're going to continue our teaching series today for the 21 Days of Prayer. In week one, we talked about learning to pray according to the promises of God. We talked about declaring the promises of God over our lives, and that prayer is really coming into agreement with God's will. It's not about overcoming God's reluctance, but it's about tapping into God's willingness. It's about coming into agreement with his will for our lives. So as you come across the promises of God in Scripture, you can begin to declare those in prayer over your life. The Scripture says that in Christ, all of God's promises are yes and amen. That means when you come across the good stuff in Scripture, like in Christ, when Jesus went to the cross, he was saying with his life, like, I'm making good on the promises of God for you. And so we can pray that way. I would say it this way. If you ever wonder, how do I know that I'm praying according to the will of God? Well, the will of God is found in the Word of God. So the more you get your mind in Scripture, the more you get saturated in the Word of God, the more you can have confidence that you're praying according to the will of God. And so I want to encourage you to be doing that. Make sure you're spending some time every day, not just in prayer, but meditating on God's Word. We have some recommendations on the website for some reading plans that you might want to do in the Bible app. Get into something like that. Because as you begin to pray God's word, it'll just make a difference in your life. Like, for example, for me, I love the Psalms. Almost on a daily basis, I'm in the Psalms because they're just such beautiful examples of prayers that begin to give inspiration and shape the language that you use when you pray. So today, we're going to be really practical. I want us to take a passage of Scripture. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture that we can use as a basis for prayer. So the prayer I'm going to show you today from Scripture is called the Prayer of Jabez. Now, some of you have heard of this because it was a really popular book that came out about 20 years ago. It was a bestseller. Some people loved it. Some people didn't like it. But it was a really popular book, and it took this little obscure passage, these two short verses in the book of 1 Chronicles, and made them really well known. So the passage does come from the book of 1 Chronicles, and 1 Chronicles is a history book. It's a book that reflects on the history of Israel. And in the first few chapters, it's a bunch of genealogies. Come on, how many of you have ever read the genealogies before in the Bible? You know, that's the section where you get to, and so-and-so was the father of so-and-so, who was the father of so-and-so, who was the father of so-and-so. Don't you just get inspired when you read those? Come on, let's be honest. How many of you have ever fallen asleep reading one of the genealogies before? Have you ever wondered, like, God, why did this even make it in the Bible? I don't know. We'll find out one day when we get to heaven. But this portion of Scripture comes in the midst of the genealogies, and in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, the author of Chronicles stops for just a moment and gives us commentary on this one guy, Jabez, who's right smack in the middle of all these genealogies. It gives us two verses that sum up his life, and they're really powerful. Let's look at it. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Here's what it says. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Verse 10, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And look at this, notice this, and God granted his request. So here's this guy, Jabez. We don't know anything about him. He's here just in these genealogies, but we read two really powerful verses about his life. Imagine two verses of Scripture summing up your whole life. And we see, like, something powerful happen here in his life as he cries out to God and God answers his prayer. Now, let's make a few observations here, okay? The name Jabez actually sounds like the Hebrew word for the word pain. The Scripture says Jabez's mother named him, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. For you moms out there, can you imagine what your kids would be called if you named them after what you were experiencing during childbirth? Can you imagine? You know, imagine you run into somebody. Oh, let me introduce you to my son. Oh, what's your son's name? Oh, his name is, can somebody give me an epidural right now? Wow, what a name. What's his middle name? I told you I was done with having kids. I mean, it's just crazy, right? I mean, imagine, like, your mother giving you a name like Pain or Oh, What a Pain, which is basically the expression here. Now, at some point in time, your parents thought it about you. They thought you were a pain in the butt. Come on, I'm a parent. But thank God they never named you that. So this is Jabez's names, and names in Scripture were powerful and symbolic of a person's identity. Oftentimes, a name was prophetic. It ended up really describing what that person became. So Jabez, right out of the bat, had to overcome this identity of his life being marked by pain that was spoken over him by his mother, by his parents. Now, what makes Jabez so fascinating is he didn't just settle for this whole pain thing being his lot in life. He didn't just settle for like, well, this is my name and this is going to be my identity and I give up. I'm going to have a life that's really going to suck and be full of pain. No. He didn't just settle for it. He cries out to God in prayer, and God changes his destiny and his identity. So this is a really great example of the power of prayer. Come on, if you need some encouragement today, if you need a little faith, a little fuel, you know, for the fire of getting into 21 days of prayer, this is a great scripture because we see the power of prayer. We see somebody who God shifted his identity through the power of prayer. Here's the idea this morning, church, if you're taking notes, you can settle for what life has handed you, or you can pray into what God has promised you. Oh, let me say that again. Somebody came to church this morning. Somebody tuned in to church online to hear that today. You can settle for what life has handed you, or you can pray into what God has promised you. I know I hear this all the time. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. Like you don't understand the broken family that I come from. They're all messed up. It's always been this way. My finances have always been this way. My marriage has always been this way. You can settle for what life has handed you. And maybe life has handed you some disappointment. Maybe life has handed you sickness or divorce. Or maybe life has handed you financial troubles. You can settle for that, or you can pray into what God has promised you. You can begin to claim the scriptures. Come on. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God, I'm grabbing a hold of that and believing that for my life. I'm not settling for what life has handed me. Come on, let me encourage you today. That's what we're going to learn about today, choosing to pursue the promises of God in prayer and take them and declare them over our lives because there's power in them. So the prayer of Jabez is a really helpful model of prayer that we can pray based on the request that he made, because he made a few different requests in these two short verses. So we're going to look at the request that Jabez made. Now, this prayer is actually found in the prayer guide that's posted on our website. So I'm going to take you through it today and model it for you, but maybe this week you want to go back and pray through this prayer of Jabez. There's some other prayers in there as well, but this one is found in the prayer guide that's posted on our website. So Jabez prayed four things. Okay, let me encourage you to take some notes today. If you don't have the Redemption app, you want to get that from our website. There's a spot in the app where you can take notes every week, or maybe you want to get out your journal, whatever it is you want to take. Come on, Church Online, I want you to be engaged today. Four things that Jabez prayed. Here's the first one. Number one, he prayed for blessing. He said, oh, that you would bless me. Oh, that you would bless me. Jabez recognized that he needed more of God's blessing in his life. He recognized, like, I need the blessing of God in my life. How many of you know, going into 2021, we need more of the blessing of God in our lives? Anybody with me? Nobody? My hands up. Lord, I need you. God, do you see us going into 2021? Lord, help us, Lord. We need your blessing. Jabez, he begins to pray for God's blessing to come upon his life. And here's the thing. He recognized that he needed the blessing of God, that God was the one who provided the blessing. That blessing ultimately comes from the Lord. He wasn't like a really self-sufficient person. He wasn't like an upwardly mobile Westchester person who's like, oh, I've got this all by myself. I'm smart. I'm educated. I'm talented. I'm upwardly mobile. I'm good. No, he recognized, I need the blessing of God in my life. I don't want to go through life without the blessing of God. Oh, that you would bless me, Lord. Now, we have to be careful with praying bless me, Lord prayers, because we can begin to take this the wrong way. In fact, some people who read this book years ago on the prayer of Jabez interpreted this the wrong way. Well, isn't this wonderful? If I just begin to pray that God would bless me like Jabez prayed, like all my problems are going to go away and God's going to begin to get me everything that I want like a genie in the bottle. If I just rub the lamp, oh Lord, that you would bless me with a new Porsche, that you would bless me with a bigger house, that you would bless me with a supermodel spouse. Can I get an amen, single people? Lord, if you would just bless me with more money and he's going to give it to me. Amen. Isn't this wonderful? How many of you know it doesn't work that way? How many of you have been a Christian long enough to discover it doesn't work that way? God is sovereign. He's in charge. He's running the universe. He gets to define blessing. And we know that blessing really in the biblical sense is it's a divine overflow. It's not about blessing just coming to you and stopping with you. You know, we make it that way. We make blessing a swamp when it's a river. It's not just about you ending up with more stuff. It's about God's blessing coming into your life and overflowing from your life so that you can bless others. As New Testament Christians, we can begin to pray this way. God, I need more of your blessing so that I can be better equipped to make a difference for your kingdom. How many of you know that's a blessing prayer that God can answer? How many of you know that blessing isn't just health and finances, although I think we can trust God for those things? How many of you know we need to pray like this? God, I need more of your wisdom today. God, I need more of your presence. I need more of your peace. I need more of your spirit. I need more of your power in my life. See, blessing looks like all kinds of different things. You can't put a price tag on those things in your life. You can't put a price tag on God's presence and goodness in your life. Let me give you this example, okay? Most of you know I have three boys. Two of them were sitting over here earlier. So I have three boys. How many of you know that if I give gifts to my boys and they steward them wisely, I'm able to give them more? If I give them good gifts, right, and they show me that they can use them wisely, they can take care of them, that they can, you know, do well with what I've given them, I'm going to be able to trust them with more. Like, for example, my son Nicholas is over here. He's 6 years old. He would love if I were to give him a brand new, you know, i12 Pro phone. But that is not going to happen because we know what a six-year-old would do with that, right? It would be destroyed within like 2 weeks, okay? We don't do that. Now, my oldest, I can trust him with a little bit more because as he's gotten older, he's shown me responsibility. And as my kids steward the gifts well that I trust them with, I'm able to trust them with more. How many of you know that God has certain things that he cares about and he wants to know if we care about the things he cares about? So if you show him, like, for example, God cares about the poor and the needy. God cares about us being generous. God cares about us stewarding and tithing and giving back into his kingdom. How many of you know if you live that way, you're the kind of person that God can bless? Anybody with me? It's about, this shapes our prayers, right? Like, it's not just so much, God, just bless me so I end up with more. It's, God, make me the kind of person you can bless. God, I recognize that I'm going to put in some hard work, but at the end of the day, God, I don't want to do it on my own. I'm asking you to add your blessing to my life. And I want to be the kind of person that you can trust with your blessing. And I really believe God wants to give us that, but he wants us to ask with the right heart. So we can pray this prayer. Oh, Lord, that you would bless me, that, God, you would use me for your kingdom. God, not just with provision, not just with health, but, God, more of your presence, more of your spirit, more of your wisdom, more of the fruit of the spirit in my life so I can be who you've called me to be. Is this helping you? That's a real picture of blessing. Here's the second thing that Jabez prayed for. He prayed for influence. Somebody say influence. Come on, somebody, church online, type the word influence in the comments. He prayed, Lord, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. Now, in Old Testament times, land really equaled status. It equaled influence. It was a symbol of prosperity and God's blessing. Think about it. The Israelites had inherited the promised land. So the more land you had, it was a visible symbol that you had more of the promise of God in your life. It's a really powerful visual symbol of the influence that you had, of your status. And so I think as New Testament Christians, we can think of this prayer, we can apply it this way as modern day people, as influence. How many of you know that as a Christian, you're called to be a spiritual influencer? You're called to be a spiritual influencer. We talked about this in the fall during our kingdom series, that there's a calling on your life. And essentially, it's to be a spiritual influencer. Jesus said we're to be salt and light. In one of his most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you are the salt of you're salt and light in this world. Salt is one of the most basic seasonings that we use, right, to season food. In Old Testament times, in Jesus' time, like, salt was an important preservative. Nobody had refrigerators back then. So salt was essential. Light was essential. They didn't have electricity back then, so to have a lamp or a candle was very important. Jesus said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. This is about influence. It's a picture of influence. And so we can begin to pray that God would give us a greater opportunity to influence the world around us. It's not, God, just give me influence so I can be a big shot, so I can be really self-important, look at myself in the mirror and feel really good about myself. No, this is about having more influence for his kingdom. We need Christian influence in all spheres of life, don't we? How many of you know that we need Christian influence in business, in healthcare, in government, in nonprofits, in education, in construction? Like, we need Christians taking territory for the kingdom of God in every direction. Whatever it is that you're doing, you're called to be a spiritual influence. God needs you in the workplace. Whatever it is you're doing, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a medical worker or you work on Wall Street, like, you're called to have spiritual influence and use it for God's kingdom. Now, let me give you an example. I want to brag on one of our leaders, Justin, who was up here playing guitar today in the worship team. Justin's been with us since day one, helped plant this church, and now he's one of our trustees on our board and serves in leadership in our church. And a few weeks ago, he shared a testimony in our team huddle, because we have huddles where we pray over service before service. And Justin's also a PT doctor. I'm one of his patients. He treats me. He's been helping me with my back, and he enjoys torturing me sometimes. I'm going to be honest with you. He told me that PT also stands for physical torture. So yeah, be nice to your pastor, buddy. So anyway, he's a really great PT. No, seriously, if you need a doctor, I can give you a referral. I said in the first service he's going to have to give me a commission or, you know, increase his tithes if he gets some referrals out of this. But Justin shared in Team Huddle a few weeks ago, as we were kicking off this 21 days of prayer, he gave a testimony from his own life, and I asked him if I could share it in this service. At the beginning of 2020, he wrote down two things that he was praying about in his prayer journal. One was that God would allow him to go full-time into his practice, into his PT practice and business, and leave the part-time job that he had. And then he also had a certain financial number that he was trusting God to provide to make that happen. And he was testifying to the team how God had done both of those things in his life. And here's the part that I want to share. It's been a joy for me as his pastor and as a brother and friend to watch his practice grow, and knowing Justin even when he was still in grad school and having him practice on me with his PT. It's been a joy to watch his business grow and see God bless his practice. But here's the other thing I know about Justin. I've also had the privilege of watching him grow as a leader. I've had the privilege of watching him grow in his commitment to church and his commitment to God and being financially generous to the church. And here's what I believe. I believe that God has increased his territory because of his faithfulness. Come on, he's used his influence well. And I know that he desires to be a witness to every person that he treats. And I just wanted to give you that picture, because whatever it is you're doing, whatever kind of work you do, whatever you're doing in the marketplace, I want you to have this picture that we do it as unto the Lord. Like, we can ask God for more territory if we'll steward well what he's given to us. I really believe God wants to give that to you. And so here's what it looks like. It looks like something like this. God, it's not about me. It's all about you. God, whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm asking for your blessing. I want more influence, because whatever I'm doing, I want it to be aimed at your kingdom and for your glory. It's not just about me having more influence so I can become more important and people can become impressed with me. God, I recognize that you've called me to be a spiritual influencer. You've called me to take spiritual territory for you. So God, I can trust you and pray like Jabez. God, I'm asking you to enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. Maybe it's just your family. God, these kids you gave me, I want to raise them well for you so they go out and they represent your kingdom. God, I recognize that you've called me to be a person of spiritual influence. Can I get an amen, somebody? Come on, somebody give me an amen through that mask. Somebody give me an amen online this morning. You can pray for influence. You can pray for that kind of influence. Here's the third thing. Put this in your notes. The third thing that Jabez prayed for was presence. No, not like Christmas presents. Presence, like the presence of God. He prayed for the presence of God. He prayed this. Come on, read this out loud with me. He said, "Let your hand be with me. Let your hand be with me." That's a really good prayer you can pray when you get up in the morning. Lord, help me today. Let your hand be with me. I'm about to drive in traffic. Lord, don't let me have road rage. Let your hand be with me. Come on, we're getting really practical today. God, I'm asking for your presence to be with me. Jabez prayed that God's hand would be with him and upon him, that he would know God's presence in his life. And when I think about this whole thing of God's hand, the hand of the Lord, I think about his presence and I think about his strength, like the mighty hand of God, like the miracles that were done in the Old Testament when someone had the hand of God on their behalf. And so when we pray, what we're doing is we're asking God for his presence. We can ask God for his presence to be with us so that we're not just operating out of our own strength. You know, we're not just operating out of our, I've got this, I can do this. And I think, come on, let me just challenge the men for a second. I know men, we kind of have that pressure on us sometimes to portray that we have it all together, that we're so strong, that nothing can faze us and we can do this. And, you know, we're just like this tough kind of cowboy type or whatever. But come on, there's a time in your life when you got to learn how to pray into the presence of God. God, I cannot do this without you. God, I cannot go through this life without you. God, I can't run this business. I can't do this job. I can't raise this family. I can't do whatever it is that God's called you to do. God, I cannot do this under my own strength. God, I've got to have the hand of Almighty God in my life. You got to learn how to pray this way. You got to learn how to pray for his presence to be with you. And as I think about this, I think of the words of the 23rd Psalm that we all know, the famous Psalm that King David wrote. And he prayed, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what? For you are with me. for you are with me. Not because I'm a great warrior and I'm David and I've killed a lot of Philistines. No, I can go through the darkest season of life because you are with me. Like your strong and mighty hand is with me and I'm dependent on you. And as I was thinking about that scripture, my mind immediately went back to a memory from years ago, probably when I was like in junior high, maybe a teenager. So I grew up in suburban New Orleans, and there was a patch of woods between my house and the church that my dad pastored. So we kind of had the best of both worlds, you know. I was kind of a city boy in one way, but I had this little patch of woods by my house. And so we played on this, there was this trail from my house to the church, and we would ride our bikes on that trail. We would play war in the woods with my brothers. We'd smear camouflage on our face, and great memories of playing in those woods. But I never went on that trail by myself at nighttime. It was scary. And I remember one time, I don't even know why, for some reason, I ended up walking with my dad on this trail at nighttime, me and my brothers, to the church for something, and we walked back to the house, and it was pitch black. Like, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, and for some reason, I don't even remember us having flashlights. I don't know if it was like a moonlit night or what, but I remember thinking to myself, and all these years later, it came back to me, that how scared I would have been to be out on that trail by myself. Like, I would never walk this trail in these woods by myself. But what made the difference? My dad was with me. Like, I knew if some bad guy came to attack me, my dad was there. I knew if some bear tried to eat me, I'd be like, eat my dad first, here. Like, I knew. What made the difference? My dad was with me. And I want you to get this in your heart today. What makes the difference when you're walking through the darkest valley is to know that your Father God, who has a mighty hand, is with you. And I think sometimes we fail in the difficult times of life, in the trials, in the challenges, when we're going through our dark valleys because we try to take them on under our own strength. And we don't always lean on God in prayer. We don't always depend on him. But we need to learn to pray. Come on, I can't do this on my own. God, I'm dependent on you. I cannot do this on my own. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The better translation of Philippians 4:13 is actually this. I can do the things which Christ strengthens me to do. You know, I can't do everything that I would love to do. Like, I'd love to play in the NBA. But that's not going to happen. White boy can't jump. I'm just saying. But I can do the things that God has strengthened me to do. God, I can be the man that you've called me to be. I can be the husband by your grace that you've called me to be. I can be the father that you've called me to be. And you just fill in the blank, whatever it is for you. God, you've strengthened me for these things because your purpose is over my life. And so I don't want to tackle this by myself. I want to do this under your strength. So I'm praying that your presence would be with me. You can pray that way. You can pray that way. Get up in the morning, God, let your hand be with me. Whatever it is that I'm doing today, I don't want to do it by myself. Is this helping you this morning? Here's the fourth thing Jabez prayed for. Number four, he prayed for protection. He prayed for protection. He prayed this, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Now, Jabez feared what might come to him because of his name. Remember what I said before, that names in the Bible were often symbolic, almost prophetic, of what lied ahead in the future. And Jabez feared what might come to him because of this curse of a name that was spoken over him. He was born in the midst of his mother's pain, and pain was spoken over his life. And so he prayed to God for protection. Maybe Jabez was actually experiencing the reality of his name. Maybe he was walking through some pain. He was going through some painful experiences. He saw pain coming at him, and he prayed for God's protection. How many of you know that we can pray for God's protection? We certainly do that. I'm sure most of you pray for that on a regular basis. How many of you have been praying for that in the midst of this pandemic? Lord, keep your hand upon me. Protect me, protect me, protect my family. If you have kids, protect my kids. Protect the ones that I love. We can trust God for that. I believe we can, you know, God is a loving heavenly Father. We can pray for that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think we're going to be free from all pain. This side of heaven, we live in a fallen world, and I don't want to disappoint you, but I think if you've walked with God long enough, you know that all your problems haven't gone away just because you became a Christian. In fact, some of you inherited new problems when you became a Christian, good problems, hopefully, but your pain's not going to all go away. It's not all going to magically disappear in this lifetime, in this fallen world that we live in. So what's the point? What are you getting at, Pastor Jeremy? Well, I think there's actually something more important happening here. I think Jabez wasn't just praying for protection in the form of bad things coming into his life. I think that was part of it. But Jabez isn't just praying for protection. He was praying for redemption. He was praying for redemption from the identity, from the curse that was spoken over him, that God would save him from this cursed identity of a life of pain, one marked by pain. He was saying, in a sense, God, I want to be free from the old me. God, I want to be free from what others have said about me. God, I want to be set free to be the person that you're calling me to be. How many of you know that we can pray for that kind of protection? God, don't just protect me today. God, don't just protect me from harm, but protect me from who I could be apart from your grace. Come on, God, protect me from my past. God, protect me from going backwards. God, I know who I can be apart from God's grace. Amy's sitting over there. She's like, amen, pray for him. I know who he can be apart from the grace of God. I know y'all are more spiritual than me. But every day, God, I don't want to go backwards. God, I don't want to be defined by my failures. God, I don't want to slide back into the old habits. God, I don't want to go into my broken, dysfunctional family heritage. God, protect me from those things. God, redeem me from what was spoken over my life. That's a powerful prayer of protection. Look at this. You got to get this. Here's something so fascinating. His mother, Jabez's mother, names him for this painful experience that she went through in childbirth. But did you notice this in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9? Look at the very first thing it says. Here's what it says. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Did you catch that? Before we ever got to the pain part, it said Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Like God saw something in him, and this ends up in scripture to describe his life. Like he was a man of integrity. He was a man of honor. You know, the Hebrew word that's used there for honor, it has this sense of weightiness. Like Jabez was made of something. This was a guy who was made of something. Here's what's fascinating, church. Jabez was able to access his true identity, his redeemed identity in prayer. Come on, he went after who God really saw him to be, the destiny that God had really placed inside of him. He was able to access that, to realize that, to live out of that because of a life of prayer. And here's the idea this morning, church. You can settle for how others have labeled you, or you can pray into what God has called you. Come on, church online. Somebody tuned in this morning. You need to hear that. You can settle for what others have called you, what others have spoken over you, or you can pray into what God has said about you, to how God has called you. How many of you know that it's so easy for the world and for people around us to put labels on our lives? You know, you're too fat. You're too skinny. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're not qualified enough. You're not enough. In 100 different ways, this has been communicated to us. And maybe you've had hurtful words spoken over your life. Maybe when you were a kid, there was a teacher who made you feel stupid. Or you had a supervisor who made you feel like you were never going to realize your potential. Maybe something hurtful was said about you. Maybe the words of an ex in your life, they ring in your ears. Let me just tell you, the world will try to place labels on you. So we got to pray into what God has said about us. We have to come to this place of, God, I know what others have said about me. I know what even the voices in my head say about me sometimes. But God, I choose to believe what you have said about me. And you've called me saved. You've called me healed. You've called me delivered. You've called me redeemed. You've called me your child, your son, your daughter, the apple of your eye. And I choose to believe what you have said about me, God. You can begin to pray those things over your life. You can begin to pray those things over your life and claim them as God's promise for you. And so here we have this guy, Jabez, that I think many of us can relate to in more ways than one. You know, a guy who had some pain, went through some disappointments, went through some hurt, had a family heritage that wasn't perfect, you know, a mom who named him for a painful experience, passed that pain on to him. And he went through some stuff, but he didn't settle for it. He didn't settle for it. He decided to go after what God had for him. He pursued God. He cried out to God and said, God, that you would bless me, that you would protect me, that your hand would be upon me. And look at God's response to Jabez. I love just simple response in verse 10. Here's what it simply says. And God granted his request. Come on, that's our good God. That's our loving Heavenly Father. God heard his prayer. God heard his prayer and answered his request. What did Jesus say? Come on, knock and the door will be opened unto you, right? Ask and you shall receive. Now here's the point. The point, as we're looking at this as a model for prayer, is not that Jabez prayed the perfect words. In fact, that's where some people got this wrong years ago when this book came out. People just thought, if I just pray this perfect Jabez prayer, I'm gonna get everything he got. And they missed the whole point of it. The whole point of it was not that Jabez prayed the perfect words or said some kind of magical prayer. The point is that his awesome God had the power to change his destination and his destiny and to reverse this curse and to bring blessing into his life. It wasn't about Jabez, it was about God. Come on, when you pray, you don't have to go to God wondering if you're good enough or if your words are perfect. You're not praying because of who you are, you're praying because of who he is. You're tapping into his goodness. You're tapping into his grace, his favor, his ability to do anything and everything in your life. And isn't this exactly what we see in the gospel, that Jesus reversed the curse of sin on our lives when he went to the cross? Come on, Jesus went to the cross and he bore the curse of sin so that the blessing of God could prevail in our lives. This is a very picture of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Now imagine how Jabez's reputation changed, how he was never the same. People who saw him, who knew his story, who knew what his name represented, who maybe knew some of the struggles he went through, as they begin to see the blessing of God on Jabez's life, as they begin to see his territory increase, as they begin to see God's hand upon him. Can you imagine, like, I don't know about that guy Jabez. I know he's been through some stuff, but I know one thing about him, like the hand of God is with him. There's just something about that guy, whatever he does, whoever he does business with, wherever he goes, like there's one thing I know about that guy. He hasn't had a perfect life, but I can tell you, the hand of God is upon that guy. Come on, church, I want to just encourage you this morning. I want to just inspire you this morning to know today that in Christ, God has redeemed you. He's given you a new name and a new identity, and we can activate that in prayer. We don't have to settle for what has been spoken over us. We don't have to settle for what life has handed us, but we can pursue the promises of God. We can pursue what God has said about us in prayer. That's what we're doing. We're taking scripture and we're declaring it back to God in faith over our lives, trusting that he's the good God and that if he did it for Jabez, he's the same good God who will do it for us. Amen? Now, we're going to trust him for the timing. He's God. He's sovereign. He's in charge. We're going to trust him for the timing, but this is what we're doing. So let's get practical for just a moment. Then I want to pray for you, okay? As you come across prayers like this in scripture, you can take them and they can begin to give you inspiration for your prayer. So I want to encourage you this week, open up that prayer guide. Go to our website, get the prayer guide. If you don't have it already, it's a PDF there. You can download. Maybe you want to find this Jabez prayer. Pray through it. Oh, God, that you would bless me. God, that you would make me the kind of person that you can trust with your blessing. God, you know these financial needs I have, but God, I want to be the kind of person you can trust with your blessing, that I would use it wisely, what you give me. God, that you would enlarge my territory, my spiritual influence. I want to be a great influence for you wherever I go. God, that your hand would be upon me, that your protection would be with me. It's a great prayer to pray. There's some other prayers there. Maybe you want to pray through the Lord's Prayer, but learn to pray according to the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. As you get to the Psalms, I love the Psalms. There's so many beautiful prayers that you can pray. You can identify with so much of what the psalmist is going through, difficult times and crying out to God in the midst of uncertainty. Now, be careful. There are some prayers where the psalmist prays like he wants to kill his enemies, okay? That's not good. Don't do that, okay? Don't go into the workplace and start cursing everybody out. That's not good. There are some prayers that are Old Testament. We're New Testament Christians, okay? People of grace, people of forgiveness, of mercy. But the Word of God is powerful, church. The will of God is found in the Word of God. You don't have to go through life wondering, am I praying according to God's will? Begin to declare the goodness and the promises of God over your life and trust him with the results and the timing. Amen? Amen. Come on. We're in this together. We're in this together. We're going to pursue all that God has for us. So would you stand with me? We're going to pray together. And here's what we're doing in this prayer today. We want to take what we've learned and put it into practice. God, we're not settling for what life has handed us, but we're pursuing what you have promised to us in Christ Jesus. Would you pray that with me? How many of you want that? How many of you believe in that? Come on, church online. How many of you need that, want that in your life? Let's join our faith together in this moment. We're believing for breakthrough. We're believing for God to do some great things in our lives over these next few weeks, over these next few days. Like I said before and last week, if we don't come out of this with anything else but more of God's presence in our lives, we've got everything that we needed out of this time of prayer. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today that you are a good and loving God. God, we thank you that when we come to you in prayer, it's not about us being perfect. It's not about us having perfect words. God, we don't come to you because of who we are. God, we come to you in prayer because of who you are, our good and loving and faithful God. Lord, today we choose to not be defined by what others have said about us, to not be defined by our failures, our mistakes, our past, Father, even some of the negative things we've spoken over ourselves. Lord, today we choose to not just settle for what life has handed us, but Lord, today we choose by faith to pursue what you have promised to us. And we thank you that in Christ, every good promise is yes and amen. And so we declare your goodness and your favor and your mercy over our lives today. Father, I pray it for every person under the sound of my voice. And we trust you for it. We thank you for it. And we believe you to do it. If you believe it with me, would you say amen? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.